Greetings again in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are here again thinking about the subject, spiritual sacrifices we offer to God. We have shared with you the truth concerning the type of sacrifices we offer to God. We took from the Old Testament the types of sacrifices they were to offer to God, blood sacrifices and other sacrifices, especially blood sacrifices. And as these Israelites would offer them to God, God would accept their sacrifices as their intention to follow Him with all their hearts. The problem came in Israel, we pointed out, that many times their hearts were not set on God. They were rich, they had many of these animals they could offer, and so in a very superficial way, in a very shallow way, they would come before God. They would bring their sacrifices up to Jerusalem, to the temple. Then they would say to God, "I have offered my sacrifice. Now accept me." And God would have to answer them in their hearts, "I'm sorry, I cannot accept you, because in your hearts you are not walking close to me." And of course it was this offering of superficial sacrifices that finally caused the destruction of the temple and the carrying away of the people to Babylon in 586 B.C. What a terrible thing this was for Israel. And it took them a long time to understand the reasons why they had been taken away like this and their temple destroyed. Their prophets had tried to warn them, but they weren't listening. And the reason was because their hearts were far from God. Even though they continued to offer the sacrifices, their hearts were so far from Him. My emphasis is upon our lives today. And my emphasis is upon this important truth we need to recognize, that sometimes we're offering superficial things to God, things which are important in themselves, but we've offered them as a substitute for the things that God wants from our hearts. It's the heart thing that God is looking for you to offer to Him today. It's the heart obedience. It's the heart thanksgiving. It's the heart brokenness and contriteness. And today, we're going to be talking about the heart following God's will in everything. The last thing we talked about, of course, was righteousness and holiness. But now in righteousness, we earnestly seek to follow His will. I'm reading now from Psalm 40, verses 6 to 9. "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me." And then verse 8, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will." In verse 6 he says, "Mine ears hast thou opened." God speaks to us all the time. God was speaking to Israel all the time in the Old Testament, but they weren't listening to God. They knew clearly God's will for them. While they were still in the wilderness, before they ever entered the land, God had shown them exactly what their life was to be once they entered the land, how God was going to destroy their enemies before them, how they were going to possess the land in its completeness. Every square inch of that land was to be possessed by them. But once they got into the land, they were to walk before God in certain ways. And as long as they walked before God in these ways, following God's will, God would bless and favor them. God would continue to protect them. They would enjoy prosperity in the land. There would be no great problems befall them. Their enemies could not conquer them or in some way carry them away into captivity, as long as they followed the will of God. So God, through His various prophets, through various righteous kings, through other means, spoke to them and reminded them concerning His will. You will notice the entire book of Deuteronomy is devoted to this, where Moses is speaking now. And Moses, in this entire book of Deuteronomy, is reviewing God's conditions for His blessing and His favor. And he's emphasizing again and again and again, when you follow my will, you will have blessing and favor. And of course, in the time of the judges, after the time of Joshua, who was a righteous man and who led the nation righteously, but after this time, they came into this period of terrible downfall. Downfall in their spirituality. Downfall before their enemies. And they no longer were walking with God. And they went through these terrible periods when their enemies could easily come in. As powerful as the Israelites were, the enemies could come in and conquer them and rule over them. And it wasn't until actually the time of David himself, when under Samuel, Israel got right with God. It wasn't until that time that Israel finally again was restored to the place of blessing and favor before God. You and I in our lives need to recognize how important the will of God is. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, we read these words, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, and if you have your Bibles, you might turn to that passage with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, we read these words, "For this is the will of God for you, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, his body, in sanctification and honor." Now it's the phrase, the will of God, that I'm concerned with. And this is what he says, this is the will of God for you. In other words, in various ways, God shows us his will. He shows us his will concerning obedience, concerning thanksgiving, concerning brokenness, concerning righteousness. In every way, God is showing his will. What he desires and what he expects of us. This idea of will is a very strong word. It's the idea, in other words, I accept nothing else except this. The Apostle Paul faced this in Acts chapter 16. This had to do with God's will concerning God's leading of the Apostle Paul. And so in Acts chapter 16, Paul was facing a great, great decision. Asia had been crossed by Paul. But most of Asia still needed to be reached with the gospel. He was a man of great zeal, of great ability. He had received a glorious calling from God that he was to go out as that missionary. He had gone to Galatia in the first missionary journey, and now he's reached the farthest edge of Asia. To the south of him is this great needy city of Ephesus. To the north of him was this area of Mysia and Bithynia. And so great areas were still to be reached, but those were not God's will for that time. What a difficult decision it must have been for Paul. How he must have been tempted to argue with God, to say to God, "But God, I haven't finished my job here. How can you be calling me over to Europe?" Because in Acts 16, he receives what we call the Macedonian call. God called him to go to Europe and reach the Europeans with the gospel before he would reach any other part of Asia. It was going to be later, after he had gone from Philippi to Thessalonica to Berea to Athens and down to Corinth. Then later he would finally reach Ephesus. Later he would reach Colossae and Laodicea and Hierapolis and these other great cities of that area of Asia. But God first had his will that he would go to Europe. I don't want to discuss that and why God wanted him to go to Europe at this time. But what I want to emphasize is that here was a man submissive to the will of God. He was completely submissive to his will. And so even though he might have been tempted to argue with God, there is no recorded argument he had with God. Rather, it says in Acts chapter 16, immediately we essayed or we endeavored to go forth. They caught a ship. They landed up there in the area of Macedonia. They went immediately to the city of Philippi. And then, of course, from there to Thessalonica and the other great cities on that side of Europe. Now, this is an example of following the will of God. Sometimes God, in his will, leads us to do difficult things. things which we would not naturally choose. He leads us away from home and security sometimes. He takes young people out to other parts of the world to minister for God. I remember the tears of my mother when I said goodbye to her more than 50 years ago and went out to the Philippines as a missionary. And it wasn't easy for a mother to give up her son to go to a far country thousands of miles away. But this was the will of God for me, and she accepted it. And so in our lives, whatever His will might be, it may be some very small thing that we're resisting. It may be some great decision that God is trying to impress upon us, and we're resisting this great decision because it means the upsetting of everything we know from a human standpoint. But nevertheless, this is the will of God for us. So whether it's obedience or thanksgiving or brokenness or righteousness or something else that God has for us, when God shows us His will is important to Him, and He expects us with all our hearts to follow His will. And so I would trust today, if you are one who belongs to the Lord Jesus, that in your hearts you are committed to following God's will in everything. No matter what the cost, you would be willing to follow God's will and to follow His will with all your hearts and with all your energy and all your efforts and to follow it completely. You would be committed to God's will, and this I pray for each of you.